Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Marksans Pharma Q4 FY23 earnings conference call, hosted by Ambit Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Prashant Nair from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ryan. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for dialing in. I am Prashant Nair, healthcare analyst at Ambit Capital. I would like to thank the Marksans Pharma management for giving us the opportunity to host this call. From the company today, we have with us, Mr. Mark Saldanha, Founder, Chairman, and Managing Director, and Mr. Jitendra Sharma, Chief Financial Officer. I will now hand over the call to Mark, for opening remarks and to take it forward. Over to you, Mark.
Thank you, Prashant. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us in our Q4 FY23 and FY23 earnings conference call. We appreciate your continuous interest and support for the company. We are delighted to report a great year of performance, which exceeded our FY23 guidance of 1,800 crores in revenue. Our performance was led by intense focus and execution, driving market share in various products and SKUs. We saw strong growth across all our markets. Our EBITDA margin improved for the quarter based on normalization in freight cost and cost optimization initiatives that we had undertaken. We observed improved market conditions in the quarter, with stability in price erosion for our RX products. This year has been a relatively busy year for us, which accounted for several key developments for the company, enabling shareholder value creation. This included the completion of the Teva Pharma acquisition, the OrbiMed warrant conversion, the share buyback, and now additionally, we have announced a dividend of rupees 0.5, which is 50% of the equity of rupees 1 each face value for the financial year of 2022-23. We have appointed Mrs. Shailaja Vardhan as our new woman independent director in the company, further strengthening and broadening our board. One of our key focus areas for the next financial year is going to be the integration of our newly acquired manufacturing plant from Teva, where we plan to obviously increase the capacity and launch new delivery segment dosage forms. We expect a meaningful revenue contribution from this plant to start from Q3 of FY24. We continue our focus on revenue growth by growing SKUs and existing retailers, products, and key markets. We also aim to launch new high-margin products in the year to come, enter new geographies, add new customers, and capture growth opportunities in the OTC segment. We continue to take steps for backward integration and operational efficiencies. Marksans has consistently maintained a net cash balance sheet for the last five years. We aim to maintain a strong balance sheet with a disciplined growth approach over the coming years. We remain confident of the performance in the coming quarters, while adhere to the best of regulatory and governance practice. With this, I'd like to turn it over to Jitendra, who will update you on the financials, and then we can start our Q&A.
Thank you, sir. Starting with Q4 of FY23 performance, our operating revenue was rupees 486 crores, an increase of 16.3% compared with rupees 418 crores last year. The US and North America was at rupees 193.5 crores, representing a 12.8% increase year-on-year basis. UK and EU formulation market grew by 33.1% year-on-year to rupees 206.3 crores. Australia and New Zealand formulation market recorded revenue of rupees 63.4 crores. The rest of the world saw an 11.8% increase in sales to rupees 22.8 crores in Q4 of FY23. Gross profit was at rupees 242.1 crores, up 17.3% year-on-year. Gross margin increased by 40 basis points from 49.4 to 49.8 in Q4 of FY23. The raw material prices have started to normalize. However, the company is yet to see the full benefit of it. EBITDA for the quarter was at rupees 109.5 crores, an increase of 72.1% year-on-year. EBITDA margin increased by 730 basis points from 15.2% in Q4 of FY22 to 22.5% in Q4 of FY23 on account of the normalization of freight expenses and cost optimization initiatives. Profit after tax was at rupees 82.7 crores compared to rupees 29.7 crores in Q4 of FY22, a growth of 178.9%. EPS for the quarter was at rupees 2 with almost 185% growth on year-on-year basis. Now, taking you through the full year FY23 performance, operating revenue was at rupees 1,852 crores in FY23, up 24.2% year-on-year. The gross profit for the year increased by 20.3% to rupees 930.8 crores. The gross margin was at 50.3%. EBITDA for FY23 increased by 31% year-on-year to rupees 339 crores. However, the EBITDA margin increased by 100 basis points from 17.4 to 18.3% in FY23. The cash generation from operation was at rupees 237 crores. For FY23, PAT grew by 42% year-on-year basis to rupees 265 crores. The earning per share grew by 42% to rupees 6.4 per share. In FY23, the free cash flow was rupees 183.8 crores. The capex incurred during the year was 53.6 crores and we spent rupees 29.5 crore in R&D, which amounts to 1.6% of the sales. We continue to remain debt free. We had a total of rupees 715 crores of cash as of 31st March 2023, which we plan to utilize for capex and funding our inorganic growth strategies. With this, I would like to open the floor to questions and answers. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Agastya Dave with CAO Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. And Mark, I must congratulate you. Amazing execution. Congratulations. Great work this quarter. Sir, my questions to you are basically follow up on something that we discussed last quarter. You had mentioned three major levers for margins going forward. One was the high cost raw material prices coming down, then the channel in the freight cost and the internal improvements. Now, my understanding was that the freight reduction would have contributed to 100 basis points of margin improvement this quarter. But you guys quarter on quarter have reported a much, much bigger jump. So can you help me reconcile? Because in the opening statement, you have also mentioned that the RM prices while coming down have not benefited you at all. So can you please help us reconcile the margins between Q3 and Q4?
Yeah, I mean, see the RM prices have been dropping down, but it's not that we have been able to capitalize it for the full year.
Right.
So definitely we did see a better improvement in Q4 compared to Q3. And again, this basically revolves around the inventory being held at different levels, at different plants, at different in processes. While the freight has seen a steep decline on a month-to-month basis. So it's just a matter of timing. Again, we definitely saw a better quarter compared to the previous quarters where these were concerned. Even the RM, actually in April, we are seeing better pricing than what we had seen in the last quarter. So there has, because obviously when your inventory depletes, your new pricing comes into play where your raw material and your purchase comes into play. So that is where the dynamics basically changes from time. But definitely for the financial year, we could not capitalize it for the full 12 months because obviously we didn't see the prices prevailing at this level for the full 12 months. We saw an improvement happening in the third quarter. It was much better in the fourth quarter. Our inventory, which was there, reduced because obviously due to all the supply challenges, we had to hold high inventory. So once the inventory started depleting, we started gaining on the new cost of goods or new cost of raw material that came into play.
So you mentioned in Q3 that you guys were sitting on 6 months of total inventory, different for different locations and different products. What is this number down to now? This 6 months of high cost inventory?
Yeah, it's almost over. And some of the places and some of the items we have already started with new cost. But I must tell you that the cost of Q4, what material we got in Q4 and what we are getting in Q1 of this financial year, which is starting from April, has further improved. So there has been it's a continuous process of improvement. I do believe that it is coming to a rock bottom in terms of pricing, but I do believe this year will be much better where pricing is concerned or raw material pricing is concerned.
Nice. Other question, which is on the inorganic side. So any progress? You were last quarter you were saying you were evaluating two deals. Any progress there? Any likelihood that we'll see some announcement this quarter?
Not this quarter. Definitely not this quarter. But it's a continuous process. We do evaluate. We go under due diligence. We find out that maybe it's not the right right deal for us. Sometimes the valuations don't fit in. Nothing where concrete where we are far away from pen to paper. So, but we are in dialogue with a couple of potential targets, but nothing concrete as of now.
Great. Sir, I may have a couple of more questions. I'll go back in the queue and come back. Thank you, everyone. Sure. So all the best for next quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Viraj Mahadevia, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mark, Jitendra, fantastic numbers. Congratulations for you to staying on course through the difficult last year. Mark, my question was regarding your opening remark about the launch of new products. Can you give us a flavor of the nature of new products you're looking to launch from your R&D stable, which are going to push up margins overall? And in a normalized freight and raw material environment, do you think 25% margins are achievable in 24 or FY25?
So let me address your first question. Obviously, our product launches are something which obviously it's not something that we start today and launch tomorrow. So these are items where we have been working on and where we filed for quite a long, maybe 12 months earlier. So some approvals coming in the digestive range of items. We do see some approvals coming in the pain segment. We are expecting quite a few approvals in our UK plant and our UK manufacturing facilities. So we are seeing potential approvals coming.
What is different about these products, Mark? What is different? Is it extended release? Is it
products in UK you are looking at antidepressant, cardiovascular items, some RX and a mix of OTC. Out here in India also, for the US market, you're looking at a bunch of pain and digestive in OTC and some in RX items in cough and cold also.
Right. And so
it is a basket of items, Madhav.
Right. What would lead to the higher margins?
So the higher margins, we are looking at basically, obviously, better cost of goods, raw materials, better product mix that is going to come into play with new approvals coming in. So these are factors that we are playing on. In terms of obviously leveraging new cost of material is always great news. But this will always this will also come with some challenges of pricing pressure, you know, in terms of new price challenges that will happen in the market because raw material prices have really declined dramatically out there. But we do see us capitalizing on this raw material, the freight, the packaging material cost that has come down, you know, petroleum product, petroleum items which are impacted with oil pricing, everything has improved. So we are very hopeful for a better financial year this year compared to last year.
Right. My second question, Mark, is regarding your cash balances and something I've repeatedly asked, and congratulations on completing the buyback last year. I'm sure you're very pleased, both from a shareholder and owner perspective, at the price at which it was done. You have about 715 crores of cash on your books. You're generating about a 200 plus crores of free cash flow annually. Even if you set aside 200 crores for the Teva acquisition plus debottlenecking and another 400 odd crores potentially for one or two acquisitions, you'd still have another 50 to 100 crores incremental left. Would you consider another buyback down the line? Because your share is still not fairly valued. Obviously, we've improved and come a long way since your last buyback, but that would add further to investor confidence.
I think this is going to be an every year process, and we have now defined the process of free cash flow and how we have to deploy the free cash flow in terms of dividend and buyback. And we will basically, I mean, this year itself, we have, like I said, we have done a buyback as well as improved on our dividend ratio. But if you look at it, one third of the free cash flow we have deployed onto either into both categories or any one of the categories we have to explore on that.
Right. So you're saying potentially 50 to 70 crores could come back to shareholders in terms of a combination of dividend and or buyback.
Yeah, it's a one third of free cash flow. That's what we try to adopt.
Excellent. Thank you. All the very best. Look forward to 24 and 25.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Hiral Nandu with Kalpurpurish Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. And congratulations, Mark, for the great set of numbers.
Thank you.
Just to understand on the EBITDA margin, as we have promised earlier or you have guided further that we will keep growing, and it is seen on that path. We are now 22.5% EBITDA. So in going forward, how much is sustainable and growth? As I think the earlier question was also same line, that 25% or at least 22.5% margin sustainable in the future. And are we on the same target top line of 2000 plus crore in the years to come?
Yeah, I mean, we are very confident, you know, in all my earlier conference calls, we had set out a benchmark of 2000 crores and we are pretty much around there. And so now we no longer talk of 2000 crores, we talk beyond 2000 crores. So we are confident of surpassing that benchmark. Now we are setting up a new benchmark, a new milestone for us, and that that we are planning to achieve in the coming years. So definitely we are confident.
We have the new benchmark actually.
Yes. I mean, because, you know, I there is visibility, obviously. We do believe 2,000 crores will be crossed. And now we are aiming for higher grounds, higher new heights, let's put it this way. So we have a visibility, and we do see us growing in the next 3 years or so, and that's where I do believe, at least from a revenue point of view, you know, we have surplus expectation, like I mentioned, you know, in this year itself, and we do plan in the coming years.
So from a bottom line point of view, obviously we are working hard in terms of EBITDA. It's very fluid, but it's always, I believe it's going to be always better than the previous because of all these improvements of, of raw material, freight, everything coming into play.
So you see that this raw material and the freight price now being settled and more or less can remain constant in the future, right, for the next couple of quarters, so that this margin is sustainable that way. And if some guidance or some thought process on the Teva facility, that what kind of revenue we see in this coming year, financial year 24?
Well, like I said, and we do see. There will be a gestation time. We have just acquired. We have just moved into Teva somewhere in April. There will be some gestation time for integration, for expansion of capacity, everything. So we do see revenue generation coming from the Q3 of this year, and. And then obviously we do see full-fledged revenue generation happening maybe in the Q4 or Q1 of the next year. Q1 is more realistically, where we do believe with the amount of investment that we are doing, it will be probably equivalent to or at par or bigger than our present facility in Goa.
Superb. All the very best and congratulations once again. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Darshil Jhaveri with Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and thank you so much for taking my question. Firstly, sir, congratulations on great set of results. I just wanted to ask about, we were talking about going beyond 2,000 crore revenue, so that would be for FY24. Correct, sir. And with so what would be the potential of combined our new product launch and Teva maybe for FY25 or something? We could have like some sort of, what we could see as our combined that. And will the Teva facility impact our EBITDA margins? Because, we are, setting up a new facility, setting up the process of integration of new facility.
From a short-term point of view, if you're talking of a quarter or two, definitely, integration takes time, takes money. So there's a cost implication out there. But from a medium to long-term point of view, the return on investment and, there's a lot of gain from the pain that we take in the short term. So I do believe Teva is going to add, Teva facility is going to add tremendous value. And basically it's going to fuel our growth and service our front ends globally. So I think there is no other shorter cut or a shorter way to actually overcome that. But we are basically burning the candle at both ends. We are working extremely hard to ensure the gestation time is as short as possible where that is concerned.
Oh, okay, sir. So, sir, if I may, so for FY24, can we think about, 2,000 crore plus revenue with around 22% margin? Would that be a fair assumption?
Well, I can say we are quite confident of breaching the 2,000 crores, so that's not a problem. The margin part of it, I would not want to speculate right now, but we are optimistic that a margin, our EBITDA will be... will be better than what it is, what it was for the year end.
Oh, okay, so that helps a lot. And sorry, sir, but can I just about the Teva facility? So, what kind of peak revenue or how that we could maybe expect? Maybe FY25 because I understand there is a gestation period or something. Any ballpark figure or something that would be very helpful, sir.
I think from a revenue point of view, again, we don't want to give a short-term outlook on a revenue basis. We normally talk of our objectives of hitting new goals and new heights. We have plans in place to achieve our new milestone. We no longer talk of 2,000 crores But it's great that you still remember 2000 crores. So, but we have set a new height out for the company, a new objective, new goal. But I do believe in terms of volumes, you know, we are looking at, you know, 5 billion plus tablets or pills to come out of Teva for 25.
Oh, okay, sir. That helps me a lot, sir. And congratulations once again on the great set of results. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Manoj Matthew Jacob, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Congratulations, Mark and Jitendra. My question is, what about the DMF? Have you filed the DMF? You said you will be filing DMF for the molecule.
So, Matthew, we are working on it. We are working on right now five molecules. We are hoping that our DMF would be filed somewhere in the month of September 2023. We are just going through the entire process of stability, profiling, impurities. There are a lot of chemistry that is involved in all that, but we are optimistic that we should see the light in terms of the filing part of it.
And you still stick to contract manufacturers, not to own backward integration?
Yes.
You still stick to contract manufacturing. One question, Teva alone, the next financial year, how much will it do, 1,000 crores or 2,000 crores?
I didn't get what you were asking. Could you repeat?
No, I'm talking Teva facility alone. Teva facility alone.
Teva facility, okay. Like I said, I can't give a number to it, because we don't give a forward-looking list, but I can give you what we are aiming in terms of number of pills that we are, the capacity that we are looking at, 5 to 6 billion tablets coming out of that facility.
Not 8 billion.
Well, it will go to 8 billion, but it's a stepping stone. So, you know, we want, it's not like, I wish it was like a Ferrari where you start from a 0 to 100 in 4 seconds, but it does not happen that way. We are investing a lot, so in the first year, after the first year, we do believe we will touch between 5 to 6 billion, and then we will be aiming for 8 billion.
Okay, and you will be looking into inorganic growth because you sit on a good amount of cash.
Well, that's a part of a business module that we always pursue. But if history has to say something about us, we are very choosy in how we go about doing our inorganic strategies and how we acquire companies. We have to see the synergy, and obviously it has to be value driven for our shareholders. So it's easier said than done, but we are exploring, we are in dialogue, we've gone through due diligence of over 2 companies in the last 8 months. So we do explore that possibility, but nothing concrete today to report on that.
Okay, that's good news. And the last question, there was some news that in Madhya Pradesh you allotted some piece of land, is that true? Are you building something over there?
That was Indore. We were awarded land, but now our focus has gone to this new facility, Teva, that we acquired, because that came a bit later on. So presently we are pursuing the Teva plant. We've got our hands full, and like I mentioned in my opening statement, that's our priority number one, because that will ensure our objectives being hit and our growth plan being fueled.
If you look at your financials, it seems that you bought the Teva plant for 56 crores, and you will be putting in another 200 crores to expand capacity. Am I right?
Yes. 200 crores includes the acquisition cost.
Okay, so now 200 minus 56. That's how we should read it.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Mark, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star, then 1. Our next question comes from Vignesh Iyer with Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, on a strong set of numbers. and thank you for the opportunity. Related to your other expenses, for this quarter as well, and for the quarter ended December, just to get an understanding, as in your other expenses in quarter three was around 101 crore, and which is 72 crores in this quarter. Just wanted to understand if this is one-time savings in quarter four, or was it more to do with one-time expenses in the earlier quarter? What is the exact nature that we have managed to save a good chunk despite having a growth in revenue?
So mainly, of course, this reduction has come from freight, because in terms of, if you see the product mix, most of our products are volume-driven products, and our freight cost, have gone as high, as 15%, of the revenue number, when the freight rates were at peak. So, just for your better understanding, for U.S. Refer containers, earlier at pre-COVID level, the freight rates were in the range of $3,000 per container, which have gone up to $12,500 per container, and now it has come down again back to $3,000 per container. Similarly, for UK also, the freight rates have gone up to almost $9,000 per container, which has now come down to almost $2,000 per container. So we have witnessed a good amount of saving there. And so there is no one-off as such, because freight, in coming quarters, we believe these are the normal levels. We have gone to almost pre-COVID levels of freight rates. So hopefully, we see, better numbers. We have taken a lot of measures in terms of the cost optimization also. And there are some reclassification which we have done in our other expenses, and that also resulted into a bit of lower other expenses in totality.
So sir, if my understanding is correct, subject to the freight doesn't go up from here, we'll be saving that amount of cost, right, for this amount of sales that we're doing.
A good part of that, yes.
Fair enough. Secondly, coming to this new acquisition that you have done in Teva facility, just to understand, if I have to put a blended margin profile for the products that are going to come from the Teva facility, would it be more or less on lines with what the company is making now?
Yeah, that'll be fair enough to say. Obviously, we will always try to improve on the margins. But it's too early to mention on the improvement part of it. But I think it'll be fair to say that it will be a blended mix of what we are getting today.
Okay, because just to get the understanding, because you've got a huge chunk of cash with you. So just to understand what is the process by the management to actually identify any company, is there a metrics in place like a good IRR or ROC that you expect the company to make out of such acquisition? I mean, if I could just, if we could as an investor get an idea behind, apart from the product profile, obviously, which is more on the technical side of it, but on the financial side, if we could get some understanding of what that is a management thought process behind, because we have got a good chunk of money even after this acquisition.
So obviously, when you acquisitions are different types of acquisitions. When you look at an asset, I think the gestation time is going to be how fast we can optimize that the output or desired output that we are looking for. And if we hit those objectives, then return on investment relatively is very fast. And obviously, we do calculate all this into an acquisition that we go into. When it's related to more into company, into different geographies and all, it becomes a bit more complex. Then integration takes a bit longer, and return on investment takes a bit longer, because then you are looking for different objectives and different milestones to be hit, and different growth trajectories to be hit. So there, obviously, the dynamics and even the valuation becomes different when you look at company versus you look at facility. So facility is always looked as either an asset or a liability. Companies is always looked with more sentiments and emotions attached to it, and valuations and multiples of PEs that go into play.
It is right. I mean, I don't deny on that part of it, but financially, at least, I mean, as the management would be deciding on acquiring a company which probably has like 3.5-4 times of fixed asset turnover or a 15-20% of ROC at least, right? So if you have got any specific metric that you could share with us that, okay, we don't pick up a company if it is below this, because at this ROC level, it doesn't make sense to actually put money in the company.
No, I think we evaluate it from case-to-case basis. We don't have our metrics defined in paper that way. But we do have, obviously, we have a board of directors. We brainstorm, we evaluate it. We do consider, we do try to see how fast we can, how fast the ROC will take place. And if it is too long, then we have to let go of it.
Okay. So just last question from my side. I just wanted to understand, we closed this year with on a consolidated basis with a tax rate of 21%. Would it be at this level only, or will be moving to probably something like 25% again in next year?
Yeah, it will increase a bit because from this year onwards, the UK corporate tax rates have increased from 20% to 25%. So we believe the effective tax rates from this year onwards should go to around 23%.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's all from my side. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Anupam Agarwal with Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity and congratulations, team, on great numbers. My first question is on the Teva plant. So I understand Q3 of this year is when you are looking to commercialize. Can you help us understand the annual OPEX cost that will start flowing through from the next year with respect to Teva plant?
Well, see, the OPEX cost will depend on the level of activity and the capacity utilization we will have from the plant. So right now we are in the investing mode. We don't have much of OPEX out there, but definitely we are investing a lot in CAPEX. The current costs are not that high, and but definitely it will increase in coming quarters. But our objective here is to ensure that we start generating revenue as early as possible. And we believe that we will achieve a break-even kind of scenario by Q3 of this financial year, so far as Teva facility is concerned.
You mean EBITDA break-even by Q3 FY24?
At a profit level, I mean to say at profit level. Not EBITDA.
Understood.
At net profit level.
But you just mentioned to the earlier participant that blended company level both are at a similar margins as what Marksans reports currently. Not able to reconcile the math.
Yeah, that was with regard to the product mix what we were talking about. The EBITDA which our the existing plant product mix generates. We will have similar level of EBITDA with the products which we are going to get manufactured at Teva plant.
All right. Have we already started front-ending some cost with respect to the Teva plant already in the Q3, Q4 numbers?
It will start from Q1.
All right. And at 5 billion capacity, which Sir said in year one, what will be the OPEX cost for the plant on an annual basis?
I can give you just offhand numbers. It will be anything between 50 to 60 crore rupees per annum.
Understood. That helps. Thank you. Second question with respect to the new products. So you mentioned they're coming in digestive and pain segments and antidepressant and a mix of RX and OTC. Just to get a color on how the product mix will shape up from the Teva plant, is it similar to what we do currently, or is it going to be meaningfully changing from there?
More or less in the first year, it is going to be very similar. And then as and when we start filing some products from the Teva plant, the product mix will change out there.
And the revenue mix from that plant is also going to look similar, US and UK largely, or?
It will be more European driven, but I do believe eventually it will balance it out to US and Europe.
US and Europe. Understood. Just lastly from my end, just wanted to understand directionally, I know OrbiMed has come in and have converted the warrants. Any support you have received from them in terms of customer engagements, in terms of penetrating deeper in existing markets or getting into new markets? Some sense if you can give as to what financially we understand you've got the support, but otherwise, if you can help us understand what is the role OrbiMed is playing in terms of getting more business to us.
Yeah, I mean, they are actively involved in dialogue. They are also helping us in identifying M&As. They are on the board. They basically, all the M&As we get also, we have, they have insight, they have market intelligence on various continents and countries where they give us good inputs on potential targets that we identify and the background checks. So I think their value addition is tremendous, number one, on the board, on the corporate governance point of view. And obviously in M&A, they are very actively helping us on that. Day-to-day running of operation, obviously we do most of the day-to-day operation. You know, they do actively participate in our meetings that we have every fortnight or once a month. Whenever we do have board meetings, they are quite active out there.
So I believe it's been a year OrbiMed, you know, showed interest in investing in Moxens. Last 1 year, have you seen anything in numbers financially helping us show better numbers?
Well, I think their role is a little different. So from an investor, they are not here to run the company. So we run the company, but their role is more onto adding value onto the board and onto the direction that we plan to take, the support structure that they actually offer. And obviously, their wealth of knowledge that is there in this industry as well as in M&As. So we do actually lean towards them where whenever we do come across an M&A or sometimes they have honestly recommended quite a few M&As and they actually approach company M&As for us even if we have potential targets there because they have better connectivity and better bandwidth of approaching clients. So they have been very instrumental and M&As is a very important part of our business model that has evolved our company over the period of years. So I do believe they will add tremendous value where that is concerned.
Right. Lastly, if I may, sir, out of 200, we've invested 57, so balance 143. Will that entire 143 flow through in FY24 as capex and over and above our current business, what is the capex there?
So in the Teva plant, we have already starting from April, we've started really spending money because like I said, we are trying to compress the gestation time as fast as possible and we are trying to put machines, we are trying to increase capacities, we are trying to integrate. Mm-hmm. So a substantial part of that money will go in this financial year and in the current financial year which is going on. And with the other facilities, the normal capex which goes year on year in terms of upgradation of machines or breakdowns or engineering novels that we keep working on. That's a normal process which pretty much every plant witnesses on a yearly basis.
Right. So 150 to 200 crores each year for next 2 years. Is that understanding right?
More or less.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much and wish you all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Yogesh Tiwari with Aryan Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the question. Thanks for the opportunity. And congratulations for the result.
Thank you.
My first question is on the employee cost. So on a quarter-on-quarter basis, the employee cost has declined. So what would be the reason for it?
I think it is just that, like, you know, some bonus payments normally which happens in the, like, in the initial quarters and towards the end, like, you know, it normalizes. So I think it is that which has basically resulted in a bit lower employee cost. So it will get covered, like, you know, in the first 2 quarters of the current year.
So basically it was related to some bonus component.
Yeah, the incentives and bonuses which are normally being paid in Q1 and Q2.
Sure, sir. And in terms of the US business, like what would be the price erosion for the fourth quarter and what would be the current status, like how is the pricing environment now versus Q4?
So in the first quarter of this financial year, obviously there is a stability in terms of pricing. But, you know, whenever raw materials change, pricing erodes so fast, it's never encouraging because it creates panic and even the front end, witnesses that price erosion to some extent. But I do believe this year is there will be a stability. I don't see prescription products which were highly volatile. We are witnessing now pricing stability happening, so that is a good news. So we don't see any further price erosion happening where that is concerned. But in the rest of the industry, it's just a normal trend, which nature of the beast that I would put it at.
So sir, directionally, like Q1, the current quarter, the price erosion is less than Q4. Can we assume that?
Yes, we can assume that.
And it is in the range of a single low digit?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. In terms of US business, sir, our proportion of OTC has improved significantly from about 55% to about 74-75%. So how will it impact our business in the US? Our margins increasing? What would be the impact like?
I don't see an impact. I see it positive because we are gaining market share only. Operational leverage will kick in with better revenue coming in. Distribution will get more economical and cheaper when you start shipping more products to the same destination. So I do see freight cost optimization happening. I do see operational expenses being optimized and leverage being kicked out there, kicking in there. So I do see a benefit happening only from that angle.
So, sir, can we assume that because of the increase in the proportion of OTC products in the US, that might be one of the factors why our other expense and freight cost is also reduced drastically in the quarter?
To some extent, yes. To some extent, yes.
And we will be able to maintain that low freight cost because of the increase in this proportion?
Yes.
Sure, sir. In terms of the UK business, we have seen quite a strong growth of like 33% on a YY basis. So what would be the key drivers for that such a strong growth? Because other regions still they are in a band, but UK and Europe is doing extremely well. So what would be the key drivers for it?
New product launches happening in, so we are very aggressively launching new products. We are also obviously taking market share. So as company matures, the product basket matures, you get better market share, you get better position, and definitely you, with new products coming in, you see a better product mix and better profitability happening.
Sure, sir. And in terms of the, we, as you told in the commentary that we will be looking at some inorganic opportunities. So any target segments, what would be the target segments for the inorganic opportunity?
I can't say target segments, but I can tell you geographies. We are still exploring Europe. So we look at opportunities in Europe. We look at opportunities in India. So, you know, we are exploring different geographies.
Sure. And like we have about 700 crores of cash, so that what would be like the ticket size of that acquisition approximately? What would be the range like?
We don't define that. We are more keen on looking at qualitative part of the acquisition than you know, the quantitative part of it. So we do look at number one, you know, there has to be a synergy. And there has to be a value addition on what we can get onto the table. So so based on that, we are open to different ticket sizes, but we don't go with a mindset that we need to acquire something really big or acquire something really small.
Sure, sir. And sir, in terms of the outlook for FY24, so this Teva facility would be coming about like in Q3 of this year. And we grew by about like 24% approximately in FY23. And this Teva facility coming in mid of 24. So can we do better than the growth we had in FY23? Can we assume that with the new facilities coming?
Well, we are expecting to grow, that's for certain. Our benchmark is to cross 2,000 crores and we are positioned for that. So definitely growth will happen, but the full optimization of the Teva facility, you'll basically see it in the next financial year, like I mentioned in the Q1 of 25, you know. But definitely this is, you will see returns happening, you'll see sales revenue being generated in Q3 24, and that will add, that will add to our growth story only, because obviously any additional revenue that comes in is going to add to your growth story.
So just in terms of approximate quantification, because of the new facility and other initiative which we took, so we will be able to grow more than 20% in this current financial year, facilitated by our other initiatives?
It's tough to give a number right now or a percentage right now, but like I said, when you talk of Q3 of 24, basically three-fourths or half the year or more than half the year is already over, yeah? So it's not going to be like, if numbers could add up that easily, then next year you'll ask me, can we do 40% growth? So it does not work that way, but definitely we plan to maintain our growth level for this year too.
Sure, sir. And lastly, sir, of all modeling purpose, what would be the sustainable operating margins in the long term for us?
Can you repeat your question again, please?
What would be the range of sustainable operating margins, EBITDA margins, for our company in the long term?
See, we have achieved 18% EBITDA margin during March 23. And it is a bit difficult to, you know, give forecast, but we expect to maintain, at least these margins at these levels.
And probably improve slightly. Obviously, we are aiming, we want to touch the 20 levels, but we have to work hard on that.
Sure, sir. That is very helpful. That's all from my side. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Prerit Chaudhary with Green Portfolio. Please go ahead. Prerit, your line is unmuted. You could please ask your question. Since there is no response, we move on to our next question, which is from the line of Shikhar Mundra with Vivo Commercial Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congrats on a good set of numbers. What would you say is our existing capacity utilization for the Goa, UK, and US facilities?
You're talking of the present facility or the Teva, including the Teva?
Excluding Teva.
So we are at 70% utilization.
All right. And so how much do we plan to invest in API manufacturing for the top 10 molecules?
I didn't get you. You're asking how much do we plan to invest or how much do we
API money.
Yeah, I mean, we are right now, we are targeting the top five molecules to file our DMFs. It may go between 5 to 7 items that we will file DMFs. And we'll probably be looking at an investment around 20 odd crores, 20 to 30 odd crores.
So we are basically going through a CDMO approach.
Okay.
So basically our investment here will be mainly in filing DMF, in the product development and in filing the DMF. So we believe that we will spend somewhere around say 5 to 7 crore per molecule.
Per molecule.
Okay, and what would be the potential cost saving for these, like these top five molecules contribute how much to our revenues and what would you expect the cost savings due to the backward integration?
The top five molecules, the fact that they talk of top five molecules will probably contribute maybe 30%
in terms of the price reduction. Yeah. But in terms of the overall margins, we can expect our gross margins to improve by anything between 300 to 500 basis points.
That's only pertaining to these five molecules or on a company level?
On these five molecules.
All right. And what question for the Teva facility? If we have acquired the whole facilities for 56 crore, then how come are we spending extra 144 crores to get it ready? What are we exactly spending this on?
For capacity enhancements and obviously the capacity is very small, so we are increasing it to our expectations. So the facility is big, but the capacity is small.
Okay, so what is the current capacity? So because we plan to make it 8 billion, so what is like the current capacity in terms of units?
I think it's less than 2 billion.
All right. And do we have some manufacturing agreement with Teva in place to supply them some of the medicines from this facility?
We have for 12 months.
12 months. And how much would be the potential in terms of billion units?
I didn't get you. How much would be the potential in terms of units?
Yeah, to Teva.
This will obviously come from the present capacity only. This is not from our increased capacity. So they will be consuming it from their present capacity that is already installed.
All right. And that agreement is for this financial year, FY24?
Yeah, for this financial year, for 12 months.
All right. And so this EBITDA margin which has occurred, so how much like EBITDA margin expansion which has occurred from quarter 3 to quarter 4, how much would you say it is due to a change in product mix and how much from the savings and freight cost?
I think substantial comes from the raw material and freight cost. And product mix, that is a continuous process that takes place. But you will see a better impact of the product mix in this financial year.
All right. So if the freight costs remain as it is, so this EBITDA is definitely sustainable. Would you say that, or it we can even do better than this, like with the improvement in product mix?
I'm hoping for a better.
All right. Got it. Thank you and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Vishal with Systematix. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, would you like to speak about the drivers that would help you in FY24 in terms of performance, whether it would be new product launches or probably any specific opportunity that you are looking at in FY24?
So FY24 obviously is on two grounds. One is continuing the momentum that we have set out in 2023. I think a substantial amount of that momentum happened in the last half of the year. So that itself, if it carries forward, will help us achieve our objectives. Then obviously a better profitability where we obviously are hoping for the best in terms of pricing and raw material sustainability pricing and the freight, which I do see is is basically now stabilizing and it's hit rock bottom. And then obviously, last but not the least, you know, commercializing and integrating our Tevar facility, which we are expecting some decent amount of revenue generation happening in the last half of the year.
So when you say integration, I mean, you mean the backward integration with your own APIs?
No, no. Tevar, we are talking about obviously integration in terms of our products. We still need to do a lot of site variations out there. We still need to get our licenses into Tevar. So it's not that, you know, we are not inheriting any product licenses from Tevar. So it's not something that we are inheriting. So it's only a facility. So it's one thing expanding the operation in terms of capacity, but it's another thing of trying to say, okay, these are the products that we need to introduce into Tevar, and for that we need regulatory approvals or you know, site variation approvals to basically take place so that we can actually produce those products out there.
And with Tevar cost starting to hit into your P&L, will that dilute your margins in the near term?
There will be some short term pains before there'll be before you see gains. So definitely, there will be while we are investing in the short term in the first 3 to 6 months, there will be some short term pains, but we are expecting tremendous gains to come out of that.
Any fundamental improvement that you're seeing in the in Europe in terms of so either competitors exiting, helping you gain market share or better pricing, any such trends in Europe?
No,
or in
nothing that is visible right now.
Okay. But do you, overall, do you see an improvement in the environment, the competitive environment and pricing environment?
I see an improvement in our performance beyond that.
Right.
The environment is what it is for the last 10 years. It's going to be always the same.
And ibuprofen contribution, can you call out the number during the quarter?
Well, it is a part of our pain. It is a part of our largest portfolio, that product that we have, that we enjoy market share. The exact number on the molecule, I don't have it readily available with me right now.
And the backward integration will happen this year with your own API?
Yes.
Second half.
We are hoping for filing maybe in September or October.
So you mean you can start selling with your own API? It will take time post that?
It will take time, because then once the DMF is filed, then we have to also, we'll be also filing our for our own license to be incorporated in our own license. So it may take another 3 to 4 months, but at least the first step we would have crossed the first step.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a request, please restrict yourself to one question per participant. Our next question comes from the line of Sachin Kasera with Swan Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, good evening, and congrats for a good set of numbers. I had two small questions. One is on the margin. So in the presentation, you have mentioned that you want to increase the share of R&D from 1.5% to 4 to 5%, and there's also mentioned that our aspiration is to reach like 25% margin. So which means that we need to expand our margins by like 900 to 1000 basis points, part of which will be reinvested in R&D and part will be retaining. So one, this looks like a very ambitious number from the current 18% that we reported this year. So first, if you could tell that, and secondly, will this expansion be primarily driven by gross margins, or we see significant benefits coming from like things like freight savings or maybe operating leverage or some other cost saving initiatives, if you could dwell on that?
Well, it's going to come from both, I mean, from all fronts, basically. It cannot come from a single front. Like I mentioned, the margin contribution will also happen because of product mix that we are looking at, which again, is a part of new product launches, which is a part of R&D contribution, which basically gives rise to new launches that happen on a quarterly basis, on a on a yearly basis. So product mix is going to play a critical part for any company to evolve from point A to point B. And then again, you know, it's a cumulative thing of it's a cumulative effort of every department and every area to save, to add value onto the bottom line. You know, whether it might be raw materials, freight, and you know, operation, operating leverage, operation cost. So we look at every small thing, you know, distribution cost, everything of that stuff.
And on R&D, we are talking of like almost tripling as a percentage of sales. That's too also on a growing revenue target. So what exactly are we planning to do? Because this looks like a very, very significant increase in the overall R&D spend. So what are we going to do in terms of the, you know, number of filings, or is it they're going to significantly move up in terms of the complexity of the product? Because this looks like a multifold increase in the overall R&D spend in the next 2-3 years.
Yeah, I do believe, you know, so now that we've evolved to a point for us to go to aim at new heights, we have put a lot of emphasis onto R&D. We are looking at various segments, delivery dosage, complex molecules, clinical molecules which may need some clinical studies. So so all these, obviously, we do believe our cost going up. Historically, we avoided, or we basically restrained from going into such complexities because it's high risk, high gain strategy. But we were very conservative with our outlook and our cash flow. And although we will continue operating the same way, but now we have the bandwidth to expand. We have the chemistry behind us, and we have the financial capabilities to basically explore couple of molecules that may cost more than what we historically paid.
Sure. And just one clarification on the EBITDA margins. You mentioned that you expect to sustain them or even slightly better. So you are referring to the full year margins, or you are referring to the Q4 margins? Because you know the full year and the Q4 numbers.
No, we are talking of full year only, because quarter to quarter, you know, you'll always have these variations. But we'd like to be known for a full year performance.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Anupam Agarwal with Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up. I just had a question on your presentation slide where you mentioned the number of filings and products that are in the pipeline. So across markets, we have about 92 products in UK, Europe, US, and ROW where we, either are awaiting approval or plan to launch in the next 2 years. Can you help us quantify the overall size of these molecules? What is the opportunity? What is the number of, how many players are there in each of these products? Or if you can give some color, please.
That will take more than few couple of minutes when you talk of such a wide basket of products. But we have been very selective based on our strengths, our product portfolio. We aren't the only players in quite a few of them. Obviously, there are other players. These are not first to files. But at the same time, there are certain molecules in that basket which are very niche, and basically where we believe a lot of players are more restricted than other molecules that we basically that you would normally see. So so that's where we are. We basically have identified molecules very strategically, where we feel which will revolve both our capabilities, our strength of marketing, distribution, and at the same time in terms of number of players. Now, like you rightly said, there are a lot of molecules in our filing, a lot of products in our launch items. So it's difficult to go through one by one.
Not one by one, but overall, if you can help us understand what is the market size we are looking at.
I mean, some of them go into billion, but that has no relevance because it again depends on number of players, and the market share that you can take from that particular molecule. The molecule may have a $1 billion market size or $1.5 billion to $2 billion, but then you have the brand, you have the generic, and from the generic you have number of players in there.
Right. Secondly, in the last one, are we shifting any products from our current facility to the new plant of Teva, or is it completely new range, new set of products there?
We will be shifting certain products so that we can start commercial operations. New products, new product filings will see light only in 2025, FY25 mid.
Any percentage or number of molecules you can help us with what we are shifting to new plant?
It's going to be a small basket right now. It's not
small basket of products.
It's going to be small.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's all from me.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you all for participating in our questions, and thank you for all the support and the good wishes. Be safe and hope to talk to you soon again next quarter. Take care. Cheers.
Thank you. On behalf of Ambit Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.